Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nida Daf Ayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the top line of Daf Ayin Omid Aleph. You will notice that we have a double underlining, which in effect is the continuation of a series marking that we had in our previous shiur when we featured the encounter between Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya and the Chachmei Alexandria, where they pose 12 questions to him. And we mentioned that the 12 questions are divided into 4 groups of 3, and those are featured with a diamond marking that we saw on Daf Samach Tes. The diamonds will continue on Daf Ayin Omid Beis. In other words, Omid Beis of today's Daf will feature 3 more diamonds. Under each diamond, we've double underlined the headings of each one of the questions that they are posing to Rabbi Yeshua. So here we have the third question in the first group. And before we learn the Gemara, we glance at the margin where we have a topic heading. In this case, we call it a tatnose, a subtopic. And this subtopic is something that will be quite long. It lasts till Omid Beis. And we have written, Shnei Mitzoyroyim, Shnis Arvu Karbonoseihem, Zeboze. We have a case of 2 people that were Mitzoyroyim. And a mitzora at the conclusion of their mitzora period and their achieving of tahara, they are expected to bring sacrifices. And these 2 fellows had their sacrifices mixed up with one another. You have Reuven and Shimon. So Reuven's sacrifices and Shimon's sacrifices got mixed up. The korv korbono shelechol mehem, and the sacrifices of one were offered. Umeis haMitzora Hasheni, and the other Mitzora, in other words, one of the 2 fellows died. Ma Tehei Olov, Ma Yase Mitzora Chai. What should the living Mitzora do? Now we should mention that a Mitzora, when he is declared to be Mitzora free, so the procedure involves the bringing of 2 birds that are not sacrificial, but we'll call them rather ritual, and the 2 birds are dealt with in the context of the Mitzora, where one is slaughtered and the other is sent to flutter away, and this is outside the town that the Mitzora is from. And then a week later, a series of 3 korbonos are brought, a chatas, an osham, and an oila. In this case, we are featuring the 2 fellows who were Mitzor, and their korbanos got mixed up, and we know that one of them was offered, and the other fellow's korbanos were not. In the meantime, one of them died. So what does the living person do? That's the question. So now let's read this in the Gemara, at the top line where the Gimel is circled, the Gimel representing the 3rd of the questions that the Chachmei Alexandria had posed. Shnei Mitzorim, Shnis Arvu, Korbonoseim, Zebozeh. 2 Mitzorim whose Korbonos got mixed up. The Korb Korbonos Shel Echod Mehem, and the sacrifices of one were offered. Umeis Echod Mehen, and one of the people died. Hasheni Ma Teolov, what should the 2nd Mitzora do? The surviving Mitzora. Omar Lohen, so Rabbi Yeshua answered, Koisev Nechosev Lachirim, he should write over his property to others. In other words, he gives away his properties, the havi oni, and thereby making himself impoverished. Umevi chata soif habo al hasofek, and he'll be able to bring the chatos in a bird form. And as such, unlike other sacrifices, when you have obligatory sacrifices, you cannot bring them if there is doubt, because any time you bring a sacrifice in a doubtful context, it might not be necessary, and as such it will be chulin ba'azora, and that's a prohibition. An exception to that is the case of a bird offering sin offering, a bird sin offering. That can come even if there is a state of doubt. It might be noted that malika is done to a bird. That's the special method of slaughtering a bird offering, and that's not through the cross movement of a knife, which we call shchita, but it's through malika, the insertion of the Kohen's fingernail into the back of the bird's neck. As such, if it's brought as a definite sacrifice, so it is then eaten by the Kohanim. If it's brought in a case of doubt, so it is not eaten, it is disposed of. So what did Rabbi Yeshua answer them? Says, okay, we know, we realize the korbanos got mixed up. The living fellow, it might be that his korbanos were already offered, on the other hand, maybe not. So what does he do? He brings a chatos oaf to cover his chatos requirement. And with that, he solved his problem. The Gemara asks, has he really solved his problem? Vo'ika osham. Is there not the osham, which is one of the, we mentioned earlier, one of the three sacrifices that a metzora has to bring? So he may have solved his chatos requirement by bringing a chatos oaf, but what about the osham, which is an animal offering, which is not brought under doubtful circumstances? And it's also noteworthy that the osham is the same kind of animal. It's an animal that's brought whether a person's poor or well-to-do. So how can Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya offer a solution when we don't seem to have a solution regarding the osham? Omar Shmuel kishekorav ashamo. Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, when he answered them, let the surviving mitzora bring the chatos, it's because in that case both ashamos were already offered, and the only thing that remained was the issue of the chatos offering. Before we continue in the Gemara, let's note that we are about to start a long question, and that's illustrated by the kuf that you see encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. This is so long that it continues till Omid Beis, four lines down from the top. So we have a long question, and in addition to that, we'll see some triangles featured in the course of the Gemara, and these are featured under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin. And we've noted under the triangle, E. Kareb Yehuda or Kareb Shimon, Kushyas Rav Sheshes al Shmuel, Shetirates, we're going to be seeing Rav Sheshes raise a question on Shmuel, who answered, Shemedubar Bamokur Shekvar Korov Ho'osham. In the Tanaic source, the Osham had already been sacrificed. Rav Sheshes Menase Lohavi, Keman Omar, Shmuel as Chuvaso. And Rav Sheshes will be trying to understand according to whom did Shmuel say his answer. So structurally we have a long question, and in the course of that we'll be bringing in some source material to try to understand based on what was Shmuel saying Shekorav Hashamo as a response. The Gemara, Omer Rav Sheshes, Gava Rabba Kishmuel Lemo Ki Hai Milsa. A great man like Shmuel, could he say something like that? Come on, based on whom was Shmuel's answer? E. Rebbe Yehuda, if he's based on the Tano Rebbe Yehuda, who will be presented shortly in the Gemara. Ha'omar, but Rebbe Yehuda said, Osham Kova. The bringing of the Osham establishes the income level of the individual. In other words, we look at the person's, in this case the Mitzora's, financial abilities at the point in time that he brings the Osham. The Kevan the Kovala Osham Bashirus, once the in the event that the Osham is brought and the Mitzora was a man of means, Lomotzi Maisi Chatos Bedalus, he cannot then bring a bird Chatos offering. Dalus means a poor man's offering, which is a bird. He won't have that option of bringing the bird, which is a poor man's offering, for the sin offering, for the chatos. Disnan, we have a Tanaic source in which is featured three Tanaic opinions regarding this idea of what establishes the Mitzora's financial class with regard to the flexibility that he may have in bringing the korban chatos as a bird offering. Some might refer to this as a sliding scale type sacrifice. Based on your income level, that is what kind of sacrifice you will bring. A man of means brings an animal offering, and an impoverished individual will bring a bird offering. And we're talking specifically about the korban chatos. So the Gemara continues and says, Disnan, we have the following source, Mitzor Shehevi Korban Oni Veheshir, a Mitzor who brought the type of sacrifice that's relevant to a poor man, and then afterwards he became wealthy, Oshir Veheni, or he brought it when he was of means. He brought one of the sacrifices when he was a man of means, and then he dropped in his financial abilities. We look at everything according to his abilities as they were when he brought the korban chatos. Now, you'll ask, well, if he already brought the korban chatos, so who cares? So Rashi points out that there is also the ola offering, which is of a sliding scale as well. In other words, there's an animal ola offering, and there's a bird ola offering. So what kind of ola offering will he bring? Well, it all depends on what his financial abilities was when he brought the korban chatos. That's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, and Rabbi Yehuda is the shita we're focusing on right now. He says, Hakol halich achar ha'osham. Achar osham. Everything depends on what his abilities were when he brought his korban osham. So Shmuel before, who set up the Tanaic source, namely Rabbi Shimon Hananya, as saying, well, we're talking about a case where the osham was already brought. And well, if he was brought the osham while he was a man of means, then he doesn't have the chatas ha'of option open to him, as was said in the Tanaic source. So whatever was said in the Tanaic source, as far as Shmuel understood it, it couldn't be according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Omer Hakol Holech Achar Tziporim. Rabbi Lezer says that the type of sacrifices he will bring depends on what his income level was when he brought the birds that we mentioned in our introductory remarks, the birds that were brought a week before the sacrifices were brought in the Beis HaMikdash. The birds were not sacrifices, they were a ritual that was done outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So at this point, we still don't know who Shmuel was based on when he said, Kishikora Vashomoy. The Iker Rabbi Shimon, maybe Shmuel's answer of Kishikorav HaShomo was based on Rabbi Shimon, the Omar Chatos Kova, that said that the Korban Chatos is Koivea, what kind of sacrifice he will bring, what kind of his financial level is established based on his abilities at the time that he brought a Korban Chatos. Well, if Shmuel is based on Rabbi Shimon, then why would Shmuel have said Kishikorav Ashamo in the past tense? Afagav Delo Korav Osham, even if the Osham hadn't been brought, Nasi Acher, let him bring another Korban Osham. Deha Shaminon Leila Rabbi Shimon the Omar Lacy Velasni, because according to Rabbi Shimon there is an option of bringing a korban osham and bringing it with a tnai, with a condition, namely if the mitzvah would say that if my korban osham was already offered, if the fellow that died had his korban osham offered, then what I'm bringing now is my korban osham. And if it was my korban osham that was already brought, then the osham that I'm bringing now shall be treated as a korban shlomim, which we will see shortly as we go on in the Gemara. However, just to go over this particular point, if Shmuel is based on Rabbi Shimon, then why did Shmuel set up the Tanaic source with Rabbi Shmuel ben Hananya as referring to a case where the Osham was already taken care of? So let us say you have a mitzora that did not yet bring his korban asham. We will look at his income level when he is about to offer the chatos, and if he is a man of means, so he'll bring the expensive type korbanos. If he's a man of limitation, so he'll bring the poor man's type korbanos. Before we go further in the Gemara, let's glance at the Rashi, the Ikar Rabbi Shimon, the Omar. We're looking at Rashi toward the end of about the 6-7 lines from the end of the Rashi commentary. He says, the Ikar Rabbi Shimon, the Omar Osham lo kova, that the Osham is not that which establishes his income level. The Hilkach, afilu hikriv es Hashamo kishu Oshir, even if he brought the Korban Osham when he was a man of means, yochol lahavi chatos oni, he could bring the chatos offering as a poor man. And once again, the Osham offering is not that which establishes things. So if he had already brought his korban osham when he was a man of means, he could still bring a chatas oni. Why did Shmuel have to set up the source above as saying that he already brought his korban osham as a man of means? Yochol lahavi chatas oni afilu, then he can bring the korban chatas, the bird offering, which can be brought when there is doubt. Afilu lo korav nami, even if the osham had not been offered, ikotakanto ba'osham, there still is a solution regarding the osham. Lasuye osham ibeisav olomar, he could bring an osham and make a condition and say, im korban shekorav shel chaveri hare ze sheli, if the korban that was offered already was my friend's korban, then that which I'm bringing now is going to be my korban Osham. Im sheli hoya, and if that which was offered was in fact my osham, harei zeh l'shlomim, I'm bringing this as a voluntary shlomim type sacrifice. So far we're having difficulty understanding Shmuel and what he was based on. Why did Shmuel have to say that the osham was already offered? After all, according to Rabbi Shimon, the Osham does not establish his income level. And therefore, he could have set up his case even if he hadn't brought his Osham. We should point out, maybe it's obvious, but in the original Tanaic source at the top of the page, we spoke about the fellow signing away his property, and he would in fact sign away his property, making himself into a poor man, and at that point he brings his korban chatos, which he can legitimately bring as a poor man. And as far as the osham is concerned, let him bring now a new osham and make the condition. So Shmuel did not have any need in setting up the case as having already brought the korban osham. The Gemara goes on and explains, gives the background to Shitas Rabbi Shimon, who said, as we read, that maybe Shmuel is based on Rabbi Shimon, that said, the Omar Laisi Velasni, let him bring a Korban Osham and make a Tanai, make a condition. The Sanya, the Tanaic source, gives us this background. Omar Rabbi Shimon, this is regarding a Sofek Mitzora, and Lemochros, that means after the day that he immersed himself, and he's at the day that he has to bring his sacrifices, Mevi Asham of Lugo Imoi, he brings a Korban Asham, and the Lug is a liquid measure of oil, the oil that has to accompany an Asham in the case of a Metzora. Umamidoi Bishar Nikanor, and he stands in the eastern gate of the Azora called Shar Nikanor. Umasne Olov, and he makes a condition, the Omer, and says as follows. Im Mitzorahu, referring to himself, if I am a Mitzora, then Hare Ashama Velugo Imo, then that which I'm bringing now is the Osham, together with its required lug of oil, the Imlav. If I was not a Mitzora, Osham Zeyehe Shalmei Nedova, then let this Osham be a voluntary Shlomim offering, the Oysa Osham, and this animal that he is bringing has to be dealt with as if it's both. therefore, ta'un shchitasa, we're at the top of Omid Beis, ta'un shchitasa b'tzafon, on the side that it's an osham, so it needs to be sacrificed in the northern half of the Azora, which is the only place for kodshei kodshim, for high level holiness korbanos like an osham, to be sacrificed, to be slaughtered. Beton matnas bahinos, and there has to be an application of blood and oil to the client's thumbs. Usmicha. Smicha is the placing of the hands on the animal's head. That is something characteristic of a korban shlomim, unisachim, and it also has accompanying a wine offering. Utenufa chaza v'shok, and a waving of the chaza and shok parts of the animal, the breast and leg of the animal. That is something that's shlomim related. And it shall be eaten by male kohanim only, which is characteristic of an osham, and the time period in which to eat it is that day and the following night, and no more than that amount of time, which is characteristic of an osham, which has a restricted time allotment. The Chachamim do not concede to Rabbi Shimon that the Oshem can be brought with this stipulation, because on the side that it is a Shlomim, you are going to be limiting its eating time. A Shlomim, you have 2 days and the intervening night in which to eat it. By an Oshem, you have only that day, the day that it's brought, and the following night to eat it, and that's it. Let's say you don't have enough people to finish the meat in that short time frame. What we're going to have to do is, by the morning, if it hasn't been consumed, it will have to be burnt. If it had been a shlomim, you would have had that whole next day to eat it as well. The fact then that on the tzad that it's a shlomim, you're limiting its time for consumption, which is called mevi kochim lebeis hapsul. You're making it possible before its real time. So the chachamim don't like this approach to the osham, which considers it based on the stipulation as a shlomim. The question then is, Shmuel, who said what he said regarding the mitzora and his safek, he said, bring the chatasof, which is bala safek, and as far as the question of the oshim was concerned, so Shmuel set up the original source as well, the oshim was already offered. The Gemara says, here is our answer, Shmuel sovelok Rabbi Shimon b'chada, upolig ole b'chada. Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon in one respect, that is, that the osham is not the thing, is not the sacrifice that establishes his income level. So since it's not that which establishes his income level, he has the option of signing away his property in order to bring a chatos, which is a poor man's offering. But he disagrees, that is, Shmuel disagrees with Rabbi Shimon on the tzad that an osham can be brought with a stipulation. So since the osham cannot be brought with a stipulation, he had to set up the source as a case where the osham was already taken care of, and that did not establish his income level. He can then sign away his property, he's making himself into a poor man, and thereby bring a chata sa'of and solve his suffek, or his sacrifice requirements. And with that, of course, he becomes is allowed to re-enter the community, as is the din of a mitzora, after he successfully brings his sacrifices. As you can see with our markings, we have a long Tanaic section, which in effect is a continuation of the Tanaic source that began back on Daf Samach Tes with the questions that the Chachmei Alexandria posed to Rabbi Shuben Chananya. So the diamond has already been explained. This is the second of a series of four groups of questions. Shloisha Divrei Agoda. Three questions they asked in the realm of Agoda. One pasuk refers to the Almighty as someone who does not desire the death of individuals. The Almighty desires to kill them. So, is he desirous of death or not? Answer: Kan ba'oisim tshuva, kan b'shein oisim tshuva. If individuals practice penitence, so he is not desirous of their death. If people maintain their rebelliousness and wayward behavior, so then he is desirous of their demise. Kosov Echor Omer, Ki lo yisa ponim v'lo yikach shochad. One pasuk says that the Almighty does not show any favoritism. The Kosov Echor Omer, Yisa Hashem ponov elecha. That the Almighty looks aside. He doesn't judge by letter of the law, but he will offer benefits that are beyond the letter of the law. So how do you explain these two psukim? One says he lo yisa ponim, he judges by letter of the law, and the other says yisa Hashem ponov elecha. The Gemara answers, kan koidim gzardin, kan la'achar gzardin. Where there's a gzardin, a verdict has been signed, sealed, and delivered, a gzar din. So then, if it's before the gzar din, so there's room for the Almighty, so to speak, to show flexibility and favoritism. However, once the gzar din has been signed, sealed, and delivered, so then the Kodesh Baruch Hu will not practice that. Kosev echad omer ki bocha Hashem b'tzion. The kosev echad omer ki al api v'al chamosi hoiso ir hazois min hayom asher bonu hoiso al hayom hazeh. The seeming contradiction in these psukim is that the Almighty has chosen, the first pasuk was he chose Zion, he chose Yerushalayim, and the second pasuk indicates his dissatisfaction. Kan koidem shenosa shlomo es bas paro, kan la'achar shenosa shlomo es bas paro. Before Shlomo HaMelech married Bas Paro, the daughter of the Egyptian monarch, so before that took place, so the Kodesh Baruch Hu was satisfied and happy with Zion. However, afterwards, so it lost favor in his eyes. If one studies the Parsha in the Novi concerning Shlomo and Bas Paro, one will gain a greater understanding of what is referred to here. Shloisha Divrei Burus, three areas of ignorance. As we said in our previous shiur, that to appreciate this term Burus, we recommended looking at the Maharsha commentary, who gives another dimension of explanation. But we continue in the meantime in our Gemara. Ishtoi Shaloi Mao Shittatame, the wife of Lot, upon their escape from Sodom, she was warned not to look back at the destruction, and she did, and she turned into a pillar of salt. The question is, okay, so here's a woman that was once a human being, and now she's not. She's dead, if you will, in the form of a pillar of salt. Does she communicate tumah as would a corpse? Omar lahem, meis metame, vein nitziv melech metame. So Rabbi Shimon Chanani answered them that a corpse, a dead person, is metame, but a pillar of salt is not metame. Another question. Ben shunamis mahu shiyatame. The son of the woman from Shunem, this is a boy that Elisha, the prophet, had revived from the dead. In other words, the Torah, the Novi records the boy as having died, and Elisha, the Novi, comes and revives him. So their question is, Mao Shiyatame, does he generate Tumah? After all, do we look at him as dead, or do we look at him as alive? Omar Lahansra, Rabbi Yeshua answered them, Meis Mitam Vein Chai Mitame. He's alive, isn't he? Only the dead, only that which is actually dead is metame. A person that is alive is not metame. Another question. Mesim le'osid lavoi. The dead in the time to come. That's the time that they rise from the dead. Tchias Hamesim. Srichin Azor Shlishu Shvio Ein Srichin. Do they need to be treated with the Pora Aduma water, which is sprinkled on a person that had been exposed to Tumas Meis on the third and seventh days of their Tahara, when they're distancing themselves from Tumas Meis in order to achieve Tahara? As we say, they're Tomei for 7 days. On the third and seventh day, there is a Hazah of, there's a sprinkling of Paraduma water on a person that was Tomei Meis. What about these people? What about people that are resurrected from the dead? Are they themselves were dead? Are they considered as if they had Tumas Meis, and hence require the Hazor of Shlishu Shvi? Amar Lahen, so Rabbi Shua ben Chana answered them, Lichshich, you nechkam Lahen. When they come back to life, so we will investigate the matter. Iko Damri, Lichshiavoi Moshe Rabbeinu Imohem. Another answer that he may have given to them, another version of the answer, is that when Moshe Rabbeinu comes back with them, we're talking about the time of the revival of the dead. So when Moshe Rabbeinu comes with them, we will consult him in what regarding what to do. Shlosha Divrei Derech Eretz. And the fourth category of questions are three questions regarding Derech Eretz, which would be methods or ways to conduct life. And the questions themselves will help reflect more what the intent of Derech Eretz is. Ma yase odom v'yachkam. What should a person do to increase wisdom? Amar lahen yarbe v'yeshiva v'yemai b'schora. He should increase the amount of time he dedicates to study, and decrease the amount of time he's involved in commerce. Omru, so the Alexandrians said to Rabbi Shimon Chananya, harbe osu kein v'loho lohem. Many did that. Many spent a lot of time at study and reduced amount of commercial activity, and they didn't increase in wisdom in any meaningful manner. So your idea, your counsel isn't so accurate. Elo, so what should they do? So Rabbi Yeshua ben Chanan says, Yevakshu rachmi misha chochma shaloi. Turn to the one who is in charge of all wisdom. In other words, pray to the Almighty. He is the source of wisdom, and through prayer, so you will be successful. Shenamar ki Hashem yiten chochma mipiv da'as usvuna. Says in this passage that the Kodesh Baruch Hu bestows wisdom. So, being that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is the Almighty, is the source of wisdom, pray to Him. Tani Rabbi Chia, Moshel Lemelech Basar Adam Shosu Suda LaAvodav. An analogy here is to a king, a mortal king that made a feast for his servants. Mishager LaAvodav Mima Shelafonav, and he sends to the ones he is fond of that from that which is in front of him, the food that's in front of him, he sends to his guests that are his the ones he is fond of. Taking a look at Rashi, Lo avov mishager nima shelafonav. Kach chochma shi lo avov shel mokom nitna lohem mipiv v'lo meotzer acher. Just like in this analogy, the king distributes these portions to his friends, so to the Almighty, he is responsible for the distribution of wisdom to those that he is fond of. The Gemara goes on and asks, "My komash molon?" Rashi explains the question, "Lomalei lemeima luhu yarbu b'yeshiva hevrachmem adover toli." Why did Rabbi Shimon ben Chananya even begin by saying that there should be increased study when what is necessary is prayer in order to achieve wisdom? So why did he say initially? Why did he make reference to something that's not, doesn't seem to be the final answer? The Gemara answers as follows: Deha beloha lo sagya. One without the other is simply insufficient. In other words, there still is need for increased time of study. That's yarba b'yeshiva. But if you want to see that your efforts bear fruit, so it must be accompanied by a prayer. A prayer that the efforts should be beneficial and productive. Another question. Maya Sodom Biyasashi. What should a person do in order to become wealthy? Omar Lohen. So here we have two words that the Vilna Gaon deletes from the text. So we're going to learn along with the Vilna Gaon's approach, and his answer is Yisav Yitein Be'emuna. He should conduct business in an honest fashion, and through conducting business in an honest way, he will become a man of wealth. Omru lo harbe osu kein v'lo ho'ilu. The Alexandria people said to Rabbi Yeshua, many tried that and it didn't benefit them. Now, if we were to read the Gemara without the Vilna Gaon's comment, you would end up saying that he had answered them that if you want to know how to become rich, yarba b'schora, expend extra efforts in commerce, and conduct yourself honestly. So according to the text without the rabbi, without the Goy, the Vilna Goyen's comment, he's really saying increase the amount of efforts that you put into trying to make the money and do business honestly. Omru lo, and the people, the Alexandrian said, well, many try that. There are many people that work 10-hour, 12-hour days, many, many overtime hours, and still have a hard time making ends meet. Elo, yevakesh rachamim misho ishishaloi. So the Rav Shua ben Hananya says, how to become wealthy? Pray to the one who is the owner of all wealth. Shenemar, the following pasuk indicates that the Almighty is the owner of all wealth. Li hakesef v'li hazav. The unto me is silver and gold, says the Almighty. Well then, at this point, the answer is, how do you become wealthy? Pray for it. The Gemara asks, my komash molon, and as we saw before, the question is, why did he then bother telling them Yisav Yitein Be'emuna if the real means is through prayer? So the Gemara answers, the ha below ha lo sagi, that one without the other is not enough. And that is, just making efforts or doing business with honesty without the added prayer is simply not enough. And it could be that prayer without making some form of hishtadlus, of some type of natural effort, is also something that's not enough. So you need both elements in order to get to these desired goals. A third question: Maya se'odom v'yu lo bonim zechorim. What should a person do in order to have male children? Amar lahem, isa isha ha'ogenes lo. He should marry a woman that's fit for him, that's befitting him. And at the top of ayin aleph, amud aleph, the source continues: v'kadesh atzmus shas tashmish. And when conducting intimacy, which is the means of creating conception, he should do so with kedusha, with modesty, tznius. Omru, they responded, harbe osu kein v'lo ilu. Many practiced that and there was no success. They didn't achieve the goal of male children. El also, what should you do? Yevakesh rachamim misha bonim shaloi. Pray to the Almighty, unto whom are all children. He is the source of childbearing, and he decides who gets what. So pray to him if that is your desire, to have male children. Shenemar, neilach nachas Hashem bonim schar pri boten. In this pasuk, you see that it's the portion of the Almighty, the children. The Gemara asks, my komash malon. So if it's a function of yevakesh rachamim, so why did he bother telling us about modesty during intimacy? The answer is daha baloha lo saki, as we've seen before, that one without the other is insufficient. In other words, you have to combine forces of conducting, first marrying a woman that's befitting him, and conduct intimacy in a modest way, and add to that tefillah, prayer. My schar pri boten, what's intended by that part of the pasuk? And you notice just on the line before, we dashed underline the end of the pasuk. What is meant by the schar pri haboten, the reward of one's of having children? So Omar Rav Chama of Rav Chanina, b'schar shemashin atzma bebeten kedei shetazria ish totchila, in reward for the male in the act of intimacy restraining his release of the zera of the semen until his wife experiences her experience, and only after the wife experiences her experience then the man releases the zera, and which is considered something very praiseworthy. In other words, he's waiting for his wife to experience that which the woman experiences, and then he releases his zera. So we can say that it's an act of consideration on the man's part, in consideration of the woman. So because he exercises this type of restraint and consideration, so he gets as reward noising HaKadosh Baruch Hu schar pri habotan. He gives to the person the male children that he desires, and that male children represents the reward for this type of considerate behavior. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.